Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14. Text 13. Shasta kurvanti mam savyam.
Shasta kurvanti mam savyam.
Dakshinam pasavo pare.
Dakshinam pasavo pare.
Vahamscha purusha vyagra.
Vahamscha purusha vyagra.
Lakshaye rudato mama. Shasta kurvanti mam savyam. Dakshinam pasavo pare. Vaham cha purusha vyagra. Lakshaye rudato mama. Shasta kurvanti mam savyam. Dakshinam pasavo pare. Vahamscha purusha vyagra. Lakshaye rudato mama. Shasta. Useful animals like the cow. Kurvanti. Are keeping. Mam. Me. Savyam. On the left. Dakshinam. Circumambulating. Pasave apare. Other lower animals like asses. Vahan. The horses. Cha. Also. Purusha vyagra. O tiger among men. Lakshaye. I see. Rudata. Weeping. Mama. Of mine. Translation. O Bhimsena, tiger amongst men. Now useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to weep upon seeing me. I'll read that in the text 14 also. Mrityu duta kapato yam. Uluka kampayan mana pratyulukascha kuvane vishvanvai sunyam icchata. Translation. Just see, this pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows make my heart tremble. It appears that they want to make a void of the whole universe. So Yudhisthira Maharaj is observing all these ill omens. And it already suspected that Lord Krishna was planning to wind up his pastimes in the material world and go back to the spiritual world. This was indicated to him by Narad Muni already. When Narad Muni came to visit, he spoke with Yudhisthira Maharaj. And actually Narad Muni told him to the Lord has some pastimes to perform, and you should wait here until he performs those pastimes. So already there was the indication that, well, it seems that the Lord is winding up his pastimes, and Narad Muni instructed us to wait here. You know, in other words, he didn't want the Pandavas to go there, although Arjuna was dispatched, he went there, being very affectionate to Lord Krishna. He went there now, and apparently that he had been gone for like many months, 7 months. He'd gone to from Hastinapur to Dwarka, and he was away for 7 months, and still there was no word on what was going on. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, being a very elevated soul, very educated and trained from the youth, he was the emperor, And he knew there's a science of omens. There's actually a science of omens that one can learn from the Shastras. And of course the kings, the Brahmanas were taught all these things, and the kings were taught these things as well, that because they have to see these things in their kingdoms. There are signs if things are going well, good omens, good signs, and then there are bad signs. So it gives an indication of how things are going. So the kings would learn these things in their youth from the Shastras, and they also would consult with their Brahmanas and others. Yudhisthira himself knew just by himself without even talking to anyone else. And we're reading here that some of these ill omens, bad omens, are close to you, right in the family, can happen. You know, there can be bad signs happening in the family. Of course, this is all too common in the Kali Yuga. Everyone is used to these things, and nor are they very educated in what is a good omen and bad omen. But just like, for example, in the previous verses, there was mentioned that even in the family, even in between friends, ordinary transactions, dealings, cheating, even between friends. Normally you wouldn't expect your friend to cheat, but this is very common. Actually, many people think you don't do business with your friends and you don't do business with your family. In the Western countries it's like that because they're too familiar. They're too familiar and they take advantage. Actually, I remember there was one devotee told me that he loaned some money to another friend, and it was like $20,000 or something, quite a substantial thing. He loaned some money, and it was supposed to, the arrangement was they were supposed to be paid back in a certain amount of time. So the time came and went, and it went for a long time. So he didn't want to say anything because, you know, they were friends, and he thought, well, maybe just a bit late. But then it went on for so long that he approached him and said, what about that? I started to pay back that money I lent you. He said, well, I made so many excuses, and then yes, I'll try to do it. And then a little while later he came back again, well, you still haven't done. I said, well, it's all gone, you know, and you shouldn't have lent it to me in the first place. It's your fault. It's your fault that you know, that he lent him the money so to do whatever he wanted to do with it. But then when he couldn't pay it back, and it became his, it's your fault. You should have not lent me the money. You should have known I couldn't pay it back. So it's like that. So even between friends, these things happen, and it's quite common in Western society. I don't know, in India maybe also as well, but I know in Western society. The common saying that if you want to keep friendships, don't do business with your friends. And even in the family, don't do business with the family. Even, you know, I know, you know, in many countries the families, you know, work together in that. But in the West, if you're dealing in the family, especially a little bit distant relatives, think that the relationship's sour because cheating goes on. This is one of the defects of the conditioned souls. They've got to cheat. There's no one who is Jiva Bhuta, who is a conditioned soul, can avoid cheating. They must cheat. There must be cheating. So as Kali Yuga progresses, this will become more and more extreme. And people, because of this cheating over money, over so many different things, not only money, but it can be can lead to devastating consequences. Not only relationships, you know, dealings become polluted, as mentioned here, and relationships devastated. And not only that, can lead to violence quite often. You know, as they say in most of the violence happens close to the person, you know, between the family or in friends. In a domestic situation, say there's a murder, the husband gets murdered, the wife gets murdered, they always look to the husband, or the first thing. They always look in the family first. maybe before, from ages ago, people would know, oh, how could they know? You can't consider the family. But now, the police, their first priority in investigation is the family first. Who killed the wife? Look, the husband first. Or the boyfriend. Or the wife to the husband. So that's the first place they look. So this is quite common in the Kali Yuga. Now, of course, in the time of Yudhisthira Maharaj, it was so unusual that everyone was quite shocked by all these omens, and at once. Sometimes you get an omen, bad omen, and another bad omen a little while later. But when they all start happening at the same time, this was what was going on here. All start happening, you know, one after the other. So when these things happen close to you, between your friend and in your family, misunderstanding between fathers and mothers and sons and well-wishers and brothers and quarrelling, wife, strained quarrel. These things were very, very uncommon in the time of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Very, very uncommon. But now they're common. Strain in the family relationships, argument all the time, argument. I read one survey where they said that most of the arguments happen when husband and wife come home in the first 5 minutes. Because they come home from work, they're all stressed or something like that. So most arguments happen in the first 5 minutes. It'll happen then. So strain, quarrel, even between husband and wife. Now these days, most commonly between husband and wife, right? Then it was said even between husband and wife. So we can understand from that in the times before, husbands and wives would live quite peacefully. And so on, and children, with quite a harmonious relationship. Now in the Kali Yuga, of course, we read about that incident where the boy ran amok through the school and shot all those children. Very horrible thing. Just, you know, and the first one he shot was his mother. How the son can shoot the mother, you know, at home. So these things are going on. But it's almost like a prediction here, isn't it? These are considered bad omens. When these things are going on, when there's arguing in the family, oh, this is a bad sign. And not only that, in the next verse it was mentioned that a lot of greed is there. A lot of very pride is very strong. People are very arrogant and proud. And they're very greedy. This has become quite common, isn't it? Angry. A lot of angry people around the place. They're always angry. even the slightest things. So Yudhisthira was seeing this, which was very uncommon in the Dwapara Yuga. Kali Yuga is very common, but Dwapara Yuga, how is this going on? And that Prabhupada says this was unknown to the people at the time and astonishing for them to have experienced these things. Now today we're reading about the yesterday was the she-jackal cries, and today we're reading about the useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side. It's considered not auspicious when the cows are like that, and asses are circumambulating. I remember reading in Kamsa. When Kamsa was, when Krishna was coming to Mathura, Kamsa was getting all these indications. He dreamt that he was riding on a chariot pulled by donkeys, and he was dressed like he going to the crematorium, smeared with the oil and everything like that. And when he looked in the mirror, he couldn't see himself, and then he saw double shadows of himself and all these different things. So we saw all these bad omens. So here we're reading about the same thing. Now, another point made here is that the cows are very useful animals. Cows are very useful animals. Now they're killing them like anything. even I was saying to one devotee yesterday that even in India now, India 50 years ago, maybe 80% were vegetarian, maybe 20% meat eating, and now is the opposite. More than 80% meat eating and less than 20% vegetarian. And not only that, but India become number 3 meat exporter of the world. Number three in the world, meat exporting, India. So so all different animals killed and slaughtered and eaten and exported even. They're killing so many they can export now. The cows. There's a big trade. One devotee was telling me they saw some documentary how horribly they take them across the state borders and they treat them so badly, even in India. And what to speak in the... But India is supposed to be a country of the knowledge of these things. So Prabhupada always told us that they will be punished more. Sometimes people say, well, we are the land of the Dharma, but you are engaging in adharma, killing the cows. Useful, and the cow is very, useful, all aspects of the cow practically. Such a useful animal. I mean, we get the milk, and from the milk, the yogurt, the butter, and you know, practically people live off these things. And then even the dung of the cow is so useful. The dung of the cow, you can use in fire, you can use for building, you can use it as fertilizer. So many things. Even the urine of the cow, such a useful animal. And when the cow dies, you can take the skin. Now they're killing the cows to get the leather, and that's why we don't wear the leather, they're killing. But we can wear leather if the cow has died and they take the skin. In fact, up at New Govardhan Farm, they don't do it now, but there were some devotees who could stomach it. But when the cows died up there, the bullocks and that, some of the devotees could go. They were skinning after the death and using the leather. So that's all right. The cows died. You can use the leather, you can use the horns, you can use everything. So even in the death, the cow's very useful. The skin of them, the leather of the cow, that is considered the most... the best type of leather, isn't it? They use the skins of the other animals, but the best is considered the leather from the skin from the cow and the bullock. But don't kill them to get it. And so many animals are killed to get, you know, even in the down pillow, people like to get the down, but they kill those animals to get that down. It would be all right if the animal died and they take the... Why don't they wait? No, they can't. Have to kill it because of greed, you see, because of greed. Greed, they have to kill so many and make a profit. You see, they can't, if they just wait, Prabhupada always said the same amount will be there, even, but they like to get the young ones and they will kill it. So they kill the cows, they kill the sheep. You know, the sheep also provides the wool, right? But they have to kill the sheep also. So even the dairy farmers in the Western countries especially, they're killing the cows. They're taking the milk and they're killing the cow afterwards. So the cow is a very, very useful animal. And the asses are considered lower animals. Of course, we know from the cow, the next life of that living entity will be human. Living entities pass through so many different species. And according to the karma, one may have to take birth as not only one time as a pig, you may have to take birth 10 times as a pig. I was reading one story from the Purana about a Brahmana Bhuta, and he met another Brahmana Bhuta. They were talking about how they ended up in their situation. And he said, yes, I had to spend 10 times as the pig. You know, so many times as the horse, he gave an account of how many lives he had to spend. So it's not that you just spend one life. Sometimes you can spend 10, you have to be 10 times as the pig. So many times as the... But it is said that when one comes to the cow, then of course the karma may be, you may have to be the cow and be slaughtered. But generally speaking, after the cow, you become the human. And now it is said that if one kills the cow, you have to suffer 1 year for every hair on that cow. People don't understand these things, the consequences of this cruelty, the greed, violence. They get the reactions. But they're in ignorance, so they don't understand. So, anyway, useful animals are, this is a side point about the cow being so important. You know, the urine of the cow, the dung of the cow has antiseptic properties, actually. Antiseptic properties. And the cow urine is offered to the deity. Achagabya. Baby deity. Normally any other urine is considered muchi. But the cow urine and even the dung is mixed in the panchagabhya, when we're doing the ceremony for bathing the deity, you can mix it and you bathe the deity. So these things are explained in the Shastra. So the cow, but because they have no education, real education, in as far as the ancient Shastras that give information about these things, then everything is crazy. Instead of keeping the cows very nicely and using the benefits of keeping nice cows and bullocks, in the next few verses, the bulls also are very important. They're just killing them. Wholesale killing. Anyway, my horses appear to with, and in the next verses, the owls shrieking, the shrieks of the owl, the crows. Crows are not considered very auspicious bird, the crows. So many more, as I said, as the Kali Yuga goes on, by the end of the Kali Yuga, there'll only be the crows. You won't have any other bird. And owl. Now, owl, interesting, when I was on the Parikanamadvipa Maddal Parikram, we were walking, and we were stopped at one place. And then there was an owl in the tree. It was many years ago, 15 years ago. So, so 15 years ago, I remember I was going there, and we stopped and we saw the owl. So I said, I was with Japtakama, and I said, "Oh, owl, it's not so auspicious to see the owl." He said, "No. To see the owl is auspicious. To hear the owl, that is inauspicious. He knows all the omens." He knows all the different subtleties of the omens. So to see an owl is auspicious. But to hear an owl, generally you hear them at night. And that is considered not so auspicious. Because the owls, they pray at night, don't they? So to hear an owl at night, they're on the prowl. That's inauspicious. But to see an owl, generally you don't see them at night, you'll see them at day. So to see an owl is auspicious. And the shrieking of the crows, you know, they make that it's not very auspicious. The crows, and a lot of crows. And this country also has many crows. In India, so many crows, isn't it? How many crows are there? In the cities especially. You don't see any other bird, practice. Just crows. Isn't it? Everywhere's the crow. You go to Calcutta and Delhi and Bombay, we were just in the Chennai, all that. I said to Banaswami, I was staying with him, "They don't have any other birds here in India? Where's only the crows?" And the crows, they like the, they always hang out in the rubbish areas. They're not like the swans. Prabhupada used to say that, he used to give the example, the crows. The crows, they like the rubbish. But the swan is a bird that likes the beautiful, beautiful places. We have to be like the swans, not like the crows. So when you hear the crow, that's not very auspicious. And the pigeon is like the messenger of death. Now pigeons, of course, previously they were used to take the messages and so on. And some messages were good and some messages are not so good. So here, Yudhisthira is seeing it like, oh, the pigeon is like the messenger of death. My heart trembles. Maybe we can read a few more. Dumradisha paridaya kampate bhu saridribi nigatascham hamstata sakam cha stanayit stanayit nubi. Just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and mountains are throbbing. The cloudless thunder, the bolts from the blue, winds blow violently, blowing dust everywhere, creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters. So this is another inauspicious thing, bad omen, to have the clouds in the sky, but no rain. Sometimes you hear the thunder, but no rain. And then when the wind is blowing very strongly, blowing dust around everywhere, it is not auspicious. So these things are inauspicious. Of course, when you become a devotee of Krishna, then these inauspicious things are overcome very nicely. Just like we know when Krishna appeared. When Krishna appeared, normally it was dark moon. But because Krishna appeared, it became the full moon. Everything was rearranged. Krishna is the master of all the planets, all the stars, all the directions, all the elements. So Krishna makes everything auspicious. When one takes to, just like we have our karma, we have our reactions coming to us. But it is said that when one takes to Krishna consciousness, it's just like when you go walk out and there's maybe some crows, you just clap and the crows fly away. So when you come to the Krishna consciousness, it's like clapping, all the sinful reactions go away. All the inauspiciousness goes away. When Krishna is strong in your life. So Yudhisthira is seeing all these things, and seeing, or Krishna must be going, because these things are coming strong. When Krishna is present strong in our life, then these things go to the back. When Krishna is not so strong in our life, these things come to the front. Understand? So Krishna is everywhere, but he manifests himself according to our desires. So he comes strongly if you desire that. If you desire to want Krishna in your life, and he comes strongly in your life, then these things go in the back. It doesn't matter, they blow. But sometimes, I mean, Kali Yuga, these, as we said earlier, all these things are going on regularly. But as far as yourself, you remain unaffected by these inauspicious things. Just like, you know, at birth, Japa Karma, you know, and they can do the they can do the calculation, they do the chart, your astrological chart. And the indication will be there, how your life will go. Oh, at this age this will be like this, at that age like that. There's some, this, in this age good things, that age not so good things will be there. So everyone is destined to enjoy or suffer, according to the karma. And that can be read in the chart, by calculation. Is an ancient science by calculation. But when one becomes a devotee, then these things can be changed. Totally changed. I remember one, I was in Trivandrum, and one, we were in the temple, and the devotees were walking, and then one big pundit, he does all the charts of the Maharaja and even the Brahmana, he does their calculation. And he's a regular at the temple. He said that, I was just joking with him. I said, well, maybe you should do my chant. He said, oh, I never do it. For devotees, I don't do the chants. Because Krishna can change just like that. I say something, and then, you know, then someone complains, oh, it didn't happen. Oh, that's because you're a devotee. Krishna changed it. Krishna can keep some things, and just to give them to you, to teach you some lessons from time to time. So Krishna can do that. Krishna does that to devotees, just to teach them some lessons. Well, Krishna can just take it away as he likes. Krishna is the master of all these things. So when one is surrendered to Krishna, all these things, whatever meant to happen to you, that can change. And that will change by Krishna's mercy. When Krishna appeared, it was like that. So there are many inauspicious things. Solar eclipse, just like recently, was this big solar eclipse, wasn't it? And they, in the north of Australia, there was like they could view it very clearly. So everyone went. But solar eclipse is considered inauspicious. Lunar eclipse, solar, inauspicious. But in these occasions, you know, you take advantage and you chant. You're chanting, hearing, engaging in devotional service and become auspicious. The whole thing, you take advantage of the inauspicious and turn it into auspicious. So you can turn inauspicious into auspicious by your consciousness, your activity. We don't have to be victimized by inauspicious things. Now those who live their lives very materialistically, and then they have to reap the results of their previous actions, and they will get their karma, good or bad. So there's no that will must be there for them, and how they react to that will give them also future reactions. So they're very, very entangled, and from many lives, so many lives they're entangled. So how much karma is there? Can't fit in one life. You've accumulated so much karma that it can't be just in one life. It has to go many lives. Now this reaction will happen 5 years, this one 10 years, this one next week, this one 20 years, this one, it must be next life. Can't fit this life. So however many lives. And you can't, what are you going to do anything about it? Nothing. So, but because people are ignorant, you can do it, but people are ignorant. And people don't believe these things, or even if they know a little bit, they don't believe. But it's a fact that I read one report where even the Westerners, they're very superstitious. You know, even though they kind of say, oh, I don't believe these things. But, you know, they don't like crack mirrors, or they don't like to walk under the ladder, you know. It said that, you know, species, don't, you know, if there's a ladder and you're in the street, don't walk under the ladder. You know, 7 years bad luck with a broken mirror, you know. So even, you know, I used to live with someone who, they didn't believe any of these things, but something like that, more bad luck. You broke the mirror. Wait a minute, I thought you weren't superstitious. So they know something in the back of their minds, but they're not educated, so they're in ignorance. But what to do? I mean, what are you going to like? Oh, these are, you know, you have to walk around just looking for these things. I mean, it's almost impossible to live. So many in Kali Yuga, so many inauspicious things, bad omens will be there. But what are you going to live in a cave and just go away from everything? You have to live in the world. So how to live in the world and turn inauspicious to auspicious? They are the best ways to be in the Krishna consciousness. As I said, Krishna is the masterful. You surrender to Krishna. I will protect you from all fear, isn't it? Savanamam parityagya. The surrender unto me. I will protect you from all the fears of the world. This is Krishna's promise. So you surrender unto me, that it, and it is a place of the full of fear, and is a place of the. Now, someone may say, well, the Kali Yuga is such a difficult, but in one sense, the Kali Yuga is good. Because, you know, even though it is difficult, still we are given, you know, a very powerful and easy means of liberation, just in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Just in the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So, so very quickly, before one used to have to go to the Himalaya or deep in the forest, do the tapasya for many years, do the yoga practice, do the meditation and then go for many lives and control the senses, and then after a long time, then gradually. But, you know, within a very short time, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, one can immediately become the greatest of the yogis. So, in Kali Yuga, in one sense, is not a very good age compared to the other ages. The Iron Age, right? Quarreling. So many inauspicious things happen. Just like President Obama, he said, oh, this shooting with all these school children, so bad, we have to do something. But what can they do, actually? You know? They can do something, but They don't know what to do. They'll try to make some material solution to it all. But the real solution is spiritual. Have to be spiritual. So material solutions are temporary. Maybe they'll, they're talking about, tightening the gun laws and all this type of thing there in America. You know, they got the, the First Amendment, freedom to protect yourself, so then they're able to get the guns. But then now they're saying, well, it's causing so many problems. So then they'll make more tighter rules. But even so, something will happen in another way. So we have to look for permanent solutions in the impermanent world. How to make the permanent solution? You can't make with another impermanent thing. You have to go to the permanent. The permanent means spiritual. Spiritual. So if we can become, and it has to start with ourselves. How to make peace in the world? Start making peace with yourself. So first of all, the individual. Then together, everyone. So the individual can start spiritual, become Krishna conscious, just surrender unto me, I'll protect you from all fears. Become my devotee. I will protect you. So who else can protect us? Only Krishna. So these things, the crow, we can chant Hare Krishna, and they become devotee crows. You give them prasadam. And the cows and all these, jackals and all these. These things may be going on. But we ourselves are fixed in our own Krishna consciousness, and our whole life becomes very, very auspicious. But nevertheless, we can understand, we have some idea, where there's cloud, there's no, but thunder and lightning, there's no rain, that's not very auspicious. Big winds blowing around, gusting around, dust storms. I think in Melbourne here you get quite a few dust storms, isn't it? I remember one time I was here, they come in that, generally this time of summer, in Adelaide also, sometimes, I remember one time we were here, the dust blew in from the Mallee or something, from the north. And the big dust storm covered the whole of Melbourne. And it became very dark and all dust. Very inauspicious. That time we have to do more chanting. More chanting. So the dust storm comes and all these different things. Lightning. Lightning with no rain, lightning. anyway, we can read on in the next few days some more inauspicious omens. So tomorrow we can go, whoever writes the board, we're starting at number 17. Today was 13, so tomorrow we start at 17. So has anyone got any questions or comments? Yes.
Allowed in schools.
Yes, because they don't teach about God. So if you don't invite God in schools, how do you expect him to protect you?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand your question exactly. Did you ask a question or make a comment?
Comment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Any other? Yes. Can you talk up? Dr. What?
Astrologist.
Oh, yeah.
But we notice in some of the ISKCON Swamis and even Shiva Prabhupada, they used to use astrology. But at the same time, we understand it's not very accessible
to devotees. Yeah, well, I mean, to say, we can understand, we can get some idea about what the influences will be in our lives, but we shouldn't base our lives on what the chart is saying. That was my point. The chart may be saying, normally, if you hadn't become a devotee, your life would have gone like this. So And when you become a devotee, you know, they can do the calculation according to your birth and everything and where and everything. And then normally it would have been like this. But now you're a devotee, it will. But still, there are certain influences that will be there. Now, if you're a devotee, you'll remain fixed. And so you have to remain strong in the Krishna consciousness. And these influences will be there. So for a devotee looks at it in this way, that, well, these influences were meant to come to me. And that, of course, up to Krishna, whatever he wants to give me. But I'm aware that this period, maybe these influences will be there, so I have to be extra Krishna conscious. Now is considered a Rahu period, a not so good period. So let me be more Krishna conscious. Understand? So a devotee, you know, if they can get the calculation, but the devotee looks at it differently than an ordinary person would look at it. An ordinary person will, oh, okay, then they have to, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And so they just get caught up in the whole, all these happenings that are, and they live in that. But a devotee understands that, well, maybe these influences will be there, but or maybe they won't be there. But if they're there, there's an explanation given in the chart that this is going to happen. Well, maybe not, up to Krishna. But if it's there, well, let me chant. Let me engage more into Krishna consciousness. So in that way, you're unaffected.
Srila Prabhupada advised to remember Narasimha. You can protect us from all the
calamities.
Lord Narasimha.
What's that?
Lord Narasimha.
Yeah.
Can protect us from all the calamities.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just chant. I mean, that's why from the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and from the time of Bhaktisiddhanta, that prayer that we chant after that was introduced by them, the Lord Narasimhadev, all these influences. So Hare Krishna mantra, and we chant the Lord Narasimhadev to give the devotees protection. So whatever our calculation chart is, whether or not that's going to happen, that's up to Krishna. I mean, I remember getting my chart done a long time ago, and hardly anything happened from that chart. I don't remember anything happened. I looked every now and again. I looked for, well, that never happened then. That never happened. So. I can't remember anything happening then. It says here it's supposed to happen. I went to one of the best astrologers in Delhi. And, it was like 35 years ago now, a long time ago. But, I've still got the chart somewhere. That never happened. No. So Krishna can, give you something, or he can take it all away. So that's the attitude of a devotee. Yes.
Lord Krishna, when he appeared on this world, all the auspicious things happened. All the pastimes of Lord are auspicious. And why, when Krishna is living, there is no good feather rather than all this.
Why Krishna is?
Why there is no good feather with his devotees? Why all these things?
What do you mean, from here or from just generally?
I mean, generally, I'm saying in the
Bhagavad. Well, I mean, because he's living now, and he's given some indication. So, of course, Krishna controls all these things, and he's still present, but he wanted to give an indication that now he is leaving. So he can arrange, he's in the heart of all the different animals, and he's in charge of the different. So he's allowing all these things to happen, the signs to happen, to give some indication to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and also for the future, that these things will become, in the next age, will become quite common. So this is something that is arranged in this specific pastime as far as Yudhisthira Maharaj. Because Yudhisthira Maharaj himself, he is a great devotee, and the Pandavas are great devotees. And, for such inauspicious omens, for them, is very unusual. So therefore, a very great personality has arranged these things, and that is none other than Krishna himself has arranged these things. So then the Pandavas, they understand that their time has come also. that Krishna is leaving, so their time has come. Because they're the eternal associates of Krishna, they're always assisting him in his pastimes. So he just wanted to give some indication that the time has come now. So Krishna does in different ways. Sometimes he uses this way, sometimes another way he can send us the message in different ways. So this time he chose to do it like this. So for Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was like, you know, he's unaffected by these things and he can certainly change it all. But he knew Krishna and he was very attached to Krishna, had a lot of affection for Krishna, so he became very distressed. Normally, his distress was because he knew Krishna was leaving. If this situation was happening in his kingdom, as the emperor, he would take action to change it. He had that power. But because this was happening and Narad Muni had come and given the indication, so he was distressed because now Krishna is leaving. And he took no action actually to do anything about that because he took it as a message, now is our time is also. Our time has come. And Narad Muni pointed that out to him. He said, you know, you were worrying about, you know, all your relatives and everyone, but they're all in the hands of God. Don't be so attached to these things. So Narad Muni was giving him the indication also that normally your duty is to look after these things, but then now he started preaching differently. Your time for leaving has come. Leave it in the hands of God now. So we have to understand how to read these messages when Krishna sends messages in different ways. Any other question? Jai. All glory to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Balabhav ki jai. Gold women and the...